the big church, and the further I went, the bigger it got, and that's yet to be. But it looks like it's on the way. But I'm excited about these visitors coming. We got a two that's supposed to be here next week. But it's good to have what we already got here.
Amen.
And hallelujah. Yeah, we'll be taking our text this morning from Matthew chapter 17. I really wanted to preach this morning on trying and proving God. And I'll be honest with you, I really struggled what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. And I got up at 2 o'clock this morning, been in a battle with myself and the will of God, seeking what He would have us to preach on this morning. And I feel pretty confident that this is what the Lord is leading for us today. It's all good. Mays Jackson said, God's Word is kind of like good bologna. It don't matter how you slice it or where you slice it. It's all good. And the psalmist kind of hinted to that a little bit in Psalms 34 verse 8 when he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And everything about God is good. Nothing be refused. But I do want to try to deliver the message that God has put in my heart. I know a lot of preachers, they just, and I've probably been guilty of it myself at times, of just preaching whatever. But I have sought God and prayed about this message. And we're going to be taking our text from Matthew chapter 17. And we'll be reading the first 12 verses there. I'd like to read verse 13. I just don't like the number 13. But it does kind of fit in with what we're reading here today. And I may comment on verse 13, but I'm going to stop at verse 12. And if you found that, Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 1, and we'll stop at verse 12. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John." Now those were three that He had chosen from the 12, and they got to see and partake of a lot of things that the others didn't get to partake of or see. And in this case right here, He's kind of hinted about a little bit up there in the last verse of Matthew chapter 16 when He says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." And He's kind of given them a little glimpse of that in what we're going to be reading about today. But it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, His brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," which is another word for Elijah, "talking with Him. Then Peter," all right, Peter, "said unto Jesus," and this is our text verse, Lord, it's a good place for us to be here. And, you know, that's what church ought to be. It ought to be a good place to be. That's what's kind of what I'm going to preach about today. But Peter said, it's good for us to be here. And it is good to be in the house of God. You never know what you miss out on by not being there. Thomas, he wasn't with the disciples, and the Lord showed up and he missed out on it. And man, he kind of reacted in the wrong way. And he kind of made a reproach upon them, said, "Except I see with my own eyes the nail prints in His hand and thrust my hand hither in His side, I ain't going to believe." And that really wasn't a good commentary about, they said, we was here and the Lord showed up, and Him not being there, He kind of reacted the wrong way. But anyway, Peter said, it's good for us to be here. And then he goes on to say, "If thou wilt," he's seeking God's will here, "let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And his disciples asked him, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." And I don't like verse 13, but I guess it will complete this statement. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And we'll stop our reading right there. And I want to preach today on a good church, and pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you did build a good church.
Yes.
Lord, you said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." And you being a carpenter, Lord, you've not only built a good church, but Lord, it's continued unto this day and growing unto this day.
Yes.
And Lord, you've added to it unto this day such as should be saved. And we're thankful to be in a good church here today.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for... Lord, not only did you love the church, give yourself for the church, but Lord, you purchased it with your own blood. A high price has been paid for us to be able to be in fellowship with you. And we do seek that today. I pray that, Lord, you'll come into this church today, fellowship with us, let us sup with you, and Lord, I pray that you would sup with us here today. Like the disciples on the Emmaus Road as they journeyed, one of the things that they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as we journeyed?" And Lord, that was the type of a church. Two were gathered together, and you joined them, making three. And Lord, we pray for that today. Though we be few in number, Lord, we be great in love.
Yeah.
And we thank you and praise you for these are before us. Ask your blessings upon our efforts today. Give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Preaching today about a good church. One of the things in the context of these verses here, they asked a question in verse 11. And the reason they're asking this question is because they're trying to put what just happened into perspective. And they said unto him, verse 10, they said, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" Now that's a reference to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, which does mention what they're asking about. And it says, "But behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Yeah.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And Jesus tells them that he's already came, and that they've done unto him whatsoever they listed in verse 12. "Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." And he was speaking about John the Baptist. But a good church here. This is mentioned three of the Gospels. It's mentioned in Mark chapter 9, verse 1 through 13. It's mentioned also in Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 36. And let me say this, that I was blessed to somehow find my way as a lost drunk, found my way, I guess, by the providential hand of God.
Yes.
Somehow or another,
amen,
I made it into a good church.
Right.
Amen.
I heard the Word of God preached by a man that was saved, call of God to preach. And you know what I experienced that day? I don't believe I could experience that anywhere else other than being in a good church.
That's right.
Now, I come in there for all the wrong reasons. I mean, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to go. And I had brought this, kind of like our Sunday school lesson this morning about Jonah. I'd brought this upon myself, Rita. I'd made fun of somebody getting saved.
Yeah.
I had a good week this week for my wife.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for it.
Bless
you. We had good talk.
That's right.
We was kind of going over some of the things I was telling her. I thank the Lord that through her I didn't know getting saved.
Yeah.
And she lived with a drunk for 13 years, and Miranda,
right.
She finally made mention of something to me of great significance. And then her mention of what she mentioned to me about my cousin,
right.
Wife,
that's
which
right.
is Sandra Ford, his name was Barry Ford, she desperately said, "Did you hear that Sandra Ford got saved? I thought you might want to know." And yeah, I did want to know.
Right.
Amen.
But for all the wrong reasons, Karen. That's my drinking buddy.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I definitely wanted to hear about that. This is the guy I went drinking with on Sunday and Saturday and every other day. And we cursed God and done all kind of manner of evil. Done it ignorantly, but you know, I still did that. And through her mentioning about my cousin's wife, Sandra Ford, getting saved, and maybe sometime Sandra will come over here. She's a very, very quiet person. It's kind of hard to get her to say anything. And if she does say anything, it's got God on her, I can tell you that.
That's
but
right.
Anyway,
amen.
Through her mentioning Sandra Ford to me getting saved, for all the wrong reasons, Brother Mitchell, I loaded my truck down with alcohol and I headed straight to this house over at 124 Harwood
right.
Street for all the wrong reasons, Rita. And I walked in their house, and him and her talking, and I could tell by the look on her face, I really wasn't welcome, but I came anyway. And like I owned the place, I guess, I told her husband, Brother Mitchell, I told her husband, Barry, which is my first cousin, I said, "I need to talk to you right now." And he even had a funny look on his face. And she, for real, had a look on her face. I got him outside there, Karen, and I gave him down the road. I said, "Boy, you've had it now." I said, "It won't be long, Sandra, to have you in church. You won't get to go with me no more drinking and fishing and doing all the things we do." And I gave him a big tall bull past me ribbon. I mean, I said, "You better drink. That might be the last one you get." And of course, we both drank it. We drank more than that, more than one. And the life of an alcoholic, I knew well, but I didn't know the life of being saved. I didn't know nothing about it.
Right.
And you know, kind of like Saul, which became Paul, all the things I did ignorantly and in unbelief because I was a skeptic. And I had my opinion about a good church, and I had never been inside one. And it is a blessed privilege to come into a good church and feel the presence of God and know that not only that you're saved, but to be able to sing the songs of God and to get blessed. What kind of price can you put on that? But I had never experienced any of that. I wasn't a young man. I'm 34 years old, Caden. And my opinion of God was pretty poor. I blamed God for everything that didn't go my way.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had done that. I guess I just kind of branched off of him, Miranda. My dad, he blankety-blank God this and blankety-blank God that. And Brother Mark, that's all I knew to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important that we teach our children right.
That's
because
right.
That's all they know
Amen.
What we tell them.
That's right.
They believe us. Y'all know this, that Islamic Muslims teach their children to hate us. Do you know that?
Yeah.
They
right.
teach them we're the enemy,
yeah.
we're Satan.
Right.
As a matter of fact, their leader is called Israel. I remember which one of us is a big Satan, us or Israel. Well, we might be the big Satan, maybe Israel's a little Satan, but they teach them to hate the Jews
yes.
and to hate us,
yes.
and that's uncalled for. But anyway, I had about that same kind of mind. I'd never been in a good church, Rita. And anyway, like I said, I had give her down the road, I'd give him down the road, I'm threatening him, and I'm sure I overdid it, Brother Ed, because he said something kind of phenomenal right there in his driveway. And he said, "If you think that's something, Eddie, she's getting baptized 2 weeks from now. That ain't like Sandy, is it?" I should have really paid attention to that because
yeah.
I ended up being the next
right.
one behind
Amen.
Her. The day she got baptized, this guy would have a little humor in me. I'm the next one behind her at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church. And when they got done baptizing her, Miranda, I was the next one. Now, God had a little bit of humor.
Yeah, he did.
He said, well, we'll see about that. But anyway, I told my cousin, trying to get out of that brush and all, I said, there you go. They'll be having you down there baptizing you. And it was about 3 years later before he got baptized. He was afraid of water. And we finally got it done. Anyway, I had a poor opinion of God. I had no idea what a good church can do for a lost drunk like Eddie Wade was.
Amen. Come on.
So I had told my family, Brother Mitchell, that I told my cousin, Barry, I said, tomorrow I'm going fishing. If you want to go with me, fine. If you don't want to go with me, to blank, blank, blank with you, and you can fill in the blank.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was me back then before I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, that was on Saturday night. That next morning, that Sunday morning, I got up, my family getting dressed to go to the house of God. And if I'd been any type of a husband or father at all, I'd have been leading my family instead of watching them go to church every Sunday.
Right, right.
And I do believe every man ought to lead his family.
That's exactly right.
And I am glad it's different now. But anyway, as they was leaving, I was kind of hoping they'd get on with it, Brother Jerry, so I could get out of the conviction I was in. My bedroom door opened up, and a little 8-year-old boy walked through that bedroom door with a burden for his lost drunk daddy, walked up to me in my drunk stupor as I'm trying to get my clothes on, and said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? And for the first time, Brother Mark, I saw the real Eddie Wade. I'd been seeing what I wanted to see up until that point right there.
Yeah.
I had been looking in my mirror, and in my mirror, Brother Ed, I looked just as good as everybody else did.
Yeah,
all right. In my mirror, I thought, if they're going to heaven, I'm going. And I had kind of measured myself by others. And we all do that. The Bible tells us not to measure ourselves or compare ourselves to others.
Right, amen.
But in the mirror of God, I saw an Eddie Wade I had never seen before. And in that mirror, I have to admit, I saw myself lost and undone.
Yes.
I didn't like it, but there wasn't no way to get out of it. There's no denying it. I was a lost man, and for lack of better words, I saw the real Eddie Wade that day when my little boy asked me to go to church with me. Now, I choked on the words. It wasn't like I wanted to do it. But I remember getting them out somehow, Miranda. And I said, of course, Daddy, go to church with you today. And he went running down the hall, little boy, flying down the hall, Mama! Daddy's going to church with me today.
Amen.
I got to get out of this because I got to preach this message. This is a long message. We might have to continue this one, Jim. But anyway, I went to church with my family that day, and I went to a good church.
Amen.
I didn't feel comfortable.
That's right.
The reason I didn't feel comfortable, God had something in mind for me.
Yeah, that's right.
And I wasn't privy to it. I thought, my opinion of church was probably about like everybody else's. I thought when I went in there, they all going to look down their nose at me and say, who brought this drunk in here? What's he think he's doing coming in here? Who does he think he is? That's what I thought, Brother Mitchell.
Yeah. Right.
And the devil was saying, hey, man,
you
ain't got no business going in there. And I'm out there white knuckles on the stairwell. They done went in.
That's right.
And I'm squeezing that stairwell.
Oh, man.
And the devil's plowing up down my back saying, you need to start this car and drive home now. And you ain't got no business at all going in there. And finally, the battle of the owl come to a climax, and for some reason or another, I went into that church. And I remember having second thoughts when I got on that doorknob. There's a yellow streak about that wide one up my back. And I thought, I'm running home. But somehow or another, I prevailed and opened up that door. And when I did, the preacher, a man of great compassion, saw me, saw how uncomfortable I was. Matter of fact, when he smelled my breath, realized how drunk I was. Because I was still drunk from the night before. I don't know how the world made it home by the grace of God and the mercy of God. But anyway, he came over and shook my hand like we did this minute ago, Brother Jerry. Said, we're glad to have you. Come on in here and get you a seat. Now, that was a little church back then, about like this. I don't even think we had this many. That's 30 years ago. It was a little church. They probably went over 200 now. But God has blessed that good church.
Yeah, right.
It had a good preacher.
Yeah, right.
They done things right. They put God high and lifted it up.
Amen.
The song Brother Jerry picked out this morning for us to sing.
Yeah.
We worship God in song and spirit. I didn't back then, but I do now. But back then, I'm trying to find God without even looking for Him. And He just put me right in the middle of Him, and here I am. And everybody's, woo! Praise the Lord! And I'm kind of like a strong. he didn't beat around the bush about it. I mean, gun barrel straight. The message he preached that day.
Amen.
Here's what it was.
That's right.
Every word that men Amen. Speak should they give account of in the day of judgment.
Yeah.
And I mean, he come plowing right down my road. I had a filthy mouth. You know what I mean? I mean, he's going down my road. He's making his furrows straight. And I'm sitting there. I mean, I don't know why I thought this, Miranda. I thought my wife's told him everything I've done. And I'm sitting there thinking, she's told him I got a filthy mouth. And here he is up there. Every word that man speak shall give account. They shall give account of it the day of judgment. I'm sitting there, and I'm writhing like a worm in the fire. I mean, I ain't crumpled. I'm twisting and turning, and he ain't letting up. And I mean, he's putting a fire back there, and I mean, he's preaching the word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and I'm back there, and I mean, I've got the miseries of God. The old timers used to call it getting other miseries.
Yeah.
And I'm miserable. I mean, I'm trying to figure out a way out of this, and I'm kind of like riding this roller coaster here. God's dealing with me and my condition. He ain't leaving me like that. I mean, buddy, he's putting the finger on what's wrong with me, and I've got two choices. One is to resist, and the other is to receive. And I can say it like this, as much as I wanted to receive the Lord today and get saved today, I didn't even have enough sense to know how to do that. But I knew one thing, thanks to the preaching of the Word of God, I knew I was lost, I knew I needed to get saved, and from that day I started seeking a refuge for my soul. I remember singing Just As I Am without one plea, and you know, they all gave that good invitation that day, and I wanted to go up there, Brother Mitchell, but I didn't know nothing, I didn't know anything, I didn't know John 3:16. Only thing I knew at that time is I knew I was lost, and I knew I needed to get saved.
Right.
I want to get off of that and preach today's message. But being in a good church makes a difference. I've often thought about, Sister Karen, if I hadn't went to a good church and I had went to maybe some other type of church, and I'll comment maybe on that more here in a minute, what might be the end result of it anyway?
Yeah.
Now, the Bible talks about some churches, and it talks about they can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he's made a twofold more child of hell than they are. And I stand amazed today that God somehow got me in a good church, but I'm saved today because of being in a good church. And I've been blessed to be in a good church, a good fundamentally strong Bible teaching, Bible preaching church for 30 years. I learned, I grew, I worked in that church.
Yeah.
And a good church, a good fundamentally strong church, caused me to follow God and His Word. And let me say that we do have instructions about a good church there mentioned there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. But in this text here today, we're talking about here Peter. And Luke tells us that they're having a prayer meeting, Luke 9:28. So they went up there to pray. And as Jesus was praying, Luke 9:32, they're over there sleeping. It had to be a Baptist church up there on this mountain. But you know, you got one praying and the rest of them sleeping. And while they're sleeping, that one praying, God shows up.
That's right.
And you know, that's, I praise God for even one praying. But in most Baptist churches, most are sleeping or texting or doing their nails or bouncing a checkbook or something. But on this mountain that Jesus has took these three men, privileged to be with Him on this mountain, and He's a praying, and they're asleep. The only way to have a meeting like they had is to be where He is. In Matthew chapter 18, the chapter right after this, verse 20, the Lord promises that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, "Lo, I'm in the midst." Now, some churches, He's on the outside, knocking on the door, asking permission to come in, mentioned in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. But here, these men are right in the middle of this good church and this prayer meeting here. And God's house is a house of prayer, the Lord mentioned in Matthew 21 verse 13. And in a good church, there will be prayer. Now, last Sunday, Sharon come forward up here, and I appreciate her doing it. Matter of fact, I always want to be minded when you got a need. She come up here and she sat down and she just went to pray, and I just went over and put my hand across her shoulder and I prayed with her.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord's house is. It's a house of prayer.
Right.
And God forbid we make it anything but a house of prayer.
Right.
And I know we worship here, and I know we pay tithes here, and I know we sing here, but let's not forget it's a house of prayer. She really, I appreciate her doing what she did last Sunday. That's normal in a good church.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt my feelings right now. Somebody slid in and went to praying right now. It wouldn't bother me a bit. I saw my pastor right in the middle of preaching step down from the pulpit and hit the altar and stay there quite a while and then get up and wipe the tears off his eyes and go back to preaching. Because the preaching pertained to him, and God's the only one I know that can do that, but he got him right where he wanted him. But Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not faint in Luke 18 verse 1.
Right.
And in a good church there will be prayer.
That's right.
Some churches, I'm sure some of you are probably aware of this, but they've removed the altars out of their churches and they don't allow you to come up and pray. Look, you want to come up here and pray, you come anytime you want to. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about anybody else. If you need to talk to God, this is about as good a place to do as I know of. I talk to God at the house all the time. I got up specifically this morning on purpose, 2 o'clock, because I was running behind in talking with God, and I was trying to play catch up. But, you know, God is never very far from any one of us. And we can find Him if we feel after Him. And I'll just tell you right now that He promotes and He's all for prayer. There's having a prayer meeting on this mountain. While they're having this prayer meeting, it was there that they saw Jesus transfigured, mentioned in this chapter of this verse number 2. It said, and He was transfigured. And what a glorious meeting they were having. The only way to have a meeting like that is to be, like I said, where He is. And when you're where He is, you can expect just about anything.
Right.
When He's there.
Amen.
I mean, in Mark chapter 2, it talks about a meeting and the Lord there, and it said there wasn't no room to contain them. It had been noised abroad that Jesus was in that house, and there just wasn't no room for nobody else. And here comes a man. He's on the bed. He's been born before. They can't get in, so they tear the roof off just to get this man to Jesus. I'll just tell you, if you're where He's at, you're going to see a lot of things. And they're seeing Him transfigured because they're right there where He is. And would to God that we stay where He is. Not only did they see Jesus transfigured, they saw Moses and Elias, which is Elijah there, which represents the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
And now it's good here that Moses and Elijah are there, and they're there to talk to the Lord about Calvary. They're there to talk to Him about His decease. And they're having a meeting there. But you take Moses. Moses pictures those that have died in faith, believing God.
Yeah.
He's a resurrected Moses. He not only died, God buried him, and the Bible said nobody knows where his grave is.
Right.
And it even talks about the devil disputing over the body of Moses, and the angel said the Lord rebuked thee, and he was gone. But anyway, Moses here is picturing those who have died believing, which is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, them that sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with Him when He comes. Amen.
Yeah.
I thank God that He's the God of the living,
amen,
not the God of the dead.
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, He got up and showed us that He don't end at the grave. I put a little girl in the ground in 1995, and the Bible said we'll hope in this life only. We'll all be the most miserable. I'm persuaded He's going to bring it with Him when He comes over to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't do something for you, would you? Ain't nothing I like about dying. I don't like doing funerals. If a man wants me to do his funeral, I don't have no problem doing it. But I don't like death. I don't like dying.
No.
We made a poor choice when Adam decided he'd take a little bite of that fruit, of that tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Amen.
It wasn't the fruit, Brother Mark. It was the effect of it.
Yes, that's right.
And as soon as he eat of that fruit, I don't care if it's a grape, orange, apple, even a pumpkin.
That's right.
As soon as he partook of that fruit, his eyes was open.
Right. Yeah.
He lost his innocency, and he knew he was a sinner.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Now the Bible talks about that the law It says, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. So that's why little babies, me and Brother Ed and Sunday school lesson this morning, we was talking about abortion.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Ain't nothing to do about it. Go shoot somebody, I guess. That's not the right way.
No.
But let me say, I don't like it, but there's one thing I do like about it. All those little babies go straight to heaven. That's the only thing good about it. Because they're innocent.
Amen.
Now, the really sad thing about it is, the Bible talks about the fruit of the womb is His reward. And children, low children, are inheritance from the Lord. So we're not just killing babies, we're insulting God.
That's right.
That He is, you know, I meet women all the time with little babies. I don't know why I do this. I go up there and I say, take 50 cents a piece for them. One of them say, yeah. And let them say, add another quarter to it, or I'll sell them to you less than that. And I say, ain't it amazing you can't get them at Walmart? I mean, we just underestimate that God puts a little bundle of flesh in our arms.
Yeah.
He says, I'm giving you not just this child, but the blessing to raise it, teach it, help.
Yeah. Right.
And all mothers know what I'm talking about. Men may not, but mothers do.
That's right.
And you know, my wife, she changed all the diapers, and I said, it's for you. And you know, but I played with them until the diaper got stinking. I said, hey, it's for you.
<That's right.
laughs> But anyway, those little bundles of flesh God puts in our hands. And man, they're precious. And you know, I can't imagine anybody not wanting that blessing. But that's one thing about that abortion. You know, those children go straight to heaven. But here Moses is picturing those who have died in faith, died believing. And here he is. He's not in the grave. The devil ain't disputing with Michael Archangel over his body. Here he is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, y'all may get that, and you may not. I'll tell you what, Lord, that does something to me right here.
Right.
I don't know how many days I got left. I just know one day it's going to catch up to me.
Yeah.
I know one day I'm going to lay this body down.
Right.
I know one day I'm going to be planted, but I'll tell you one day I'm getting up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad. Praise God. Thanks be to God for giving us the victory. And praise God, I'll tell you what, we're on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
And anyway, Moses here, he pictures those that have died in faith. And you got Elijah here, and he pictures those that are translated and is coming, also mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, which says, then us which are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yes.
We're going to have a meeting in the
house. Yes,
I've never flown in my life, Joanne. But I've got reservation. I'm going to take this heavenly flight.
There you go.
And I don't know whether I'm going to have wings or what. I just know one thing. I'm going up.
Yeah.
Not going down. Praise God. I'd rather be on the elevator than the basement. Much down there, if you know what I mean. But praise God. Here's two pictures here. One pictures life after death. The other one pictures going to be with Jesus and bypassing death. I would kind of like to go in that means. And the Bible talks about thanks be unto God, give us that victory. This mortal's got to put on incorruption. This mortal's got to put on immortality. This corruption's got to put on incorruption. And these vile bodies, they've got to go back to the earth. But praise God, we're going to get a glorified body like unto His. But in a good church, you learn that the law and the prophets are your schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, and that by grace, which is the end of the law for righteousness, Romans 10, verse 4, by grace we're saved, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, and not only that, we're complete in Him, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, I ain't lacking nothing, praise God, thanks to grace and mercy, which came by Jesus Christ. Man, I'm ready either way. I don't care. I'll take death or the resurrection. Amen. I mean, the rapture, either one. Either way, I'm going. Amen.
Right.
But here they are in this meeting. They see Christ transfigured. They see two men, Moses and Elijah. And if that ain't enough, then they hear the voice of God there.
Yeah.
If you're in a good church, you can hear God speak. Let me tell you that.
Right. Yes, you can.
And you can see God work.
Right.
And you can see God save. And when you're in a good church, you don't want to leave. And that's where Peter kind of filled my role where I said, I like Peter.
That's
Brother Mitchell, he said, this is a good place to be.
That's right. Amen.
He said, let's just stay right here.
That's right. Amen.
He said, I don't see no reason for us to leave. Let's just start building some houses and stay right here. Now, there was work.
Amen.
They need to be done, Rita.
And I am kind of a mountaintop man. I like to stay on the mountain. My wife's always telling me, Joanne, she said, you can't stay on the mountain. I said, well, I ain't ready to get down just yet.
Right.
But anyway, he said, hey, it's a pretty good place to be. Let's build some buildings here and just stay here. But the Lord, he had some work that needed to be done waiting for him down at the bottom of the hill. But this good church meeting up on this mountain here, and I like these kind of meetings like this. I mean, boy, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. I mean, it's about as good can be. And Elijah in a cave in Horeb, the Mount of God, he's down and out. He's discouraged. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 8 through 18. And while he's down and out and discouraged, he hears the word of God there, verse 9, 12, and 13. He saw the signs of God there, but God wasn't in the signs. A lot of people are carried away by signs.
Yeah.
And it talked about, in those signs, it talked about there come a wind by and God wasn't in it. It talked about there came an earthquake, God wasn't in it. And there came a fire and God wasn't in it. But then it said there came a still small voice from God to him there, verse 13,
right.
And he put his mantle on and he come out of that cave and he received instruction there of the Lord what to do. And in a good church you can get instruction.
That's right.
I got called to preach and that was a product of being in a good church. And when I did raise up my white flag of surrender and surrender to the call to preach the word of God, I announced it on a Wednesday night. I still remember. I stood up and, man, knees are knocking. Man, I'm shaking like a leaf in autumn wind. And I remember what I said. I stood up, Brother Ed, and I said, I've been called to preach and I desire your prayers. And I sat down and I remember just sitting there and I sat down. Says, Joanne, the devil says, is that right? And we got on a first name basis. And I mean, it's been World War III ever since.
Yeah.
I mean, even my wife changed her demeanor. I mean, we became, amen, instead of hugging our wife, we became enemies. You remember Job's wife coming against him?
Yes.
Dost thou still retain thine integrity?
Yeah.
Curse God and die. I mean, I had some of those experiences like that.
Amen.
Just to give you an example, our daughter got killed in a car wreck in 1995. After I announced my call to preach, she said, it's my fault. I said, honey, I didn't have nothing to do with that. This all started. You got saved. That is true.
Yeah.
I can't deny that, but I didn't have nothing to do with it. I mean, you get saved, a lot of things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And they don't come from God. And this good church right here, there's a lot of things that will come. And this right here, it talked about the wind came, but God wasn't in it. The earthquake came, God wasn't in it. The fire came, God wasn't in it. But when he heard that still small voice, he knew God was in that. He came out.
Right.
And he received instructions there what to do. God told him exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Go anoint this man, King of England, and go put Elisha. Give him the office of being the prophet. He had to give the office from him to Elisha, and then he got called up, got out of there. But also, he had some encouragement there. God told him, hey, by the way, I got 7,000. Ain't bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen.
You see, sometimes we get him in little pity parties. Mm-hmm. Elijah didn't have him in a little pity party. He thought, after what all he done there in the preceding chapter there, he withstood 850 prophets of Baal. Well, actually, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the groves, or maybe it's 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of the groves. But anyway, he withstood 850. And they all died, and he survived, and he proved there. He said, why? How long halt you 22 opinions? If Baal be God, serve him?
That's right.
And he put it down to the test. And there wasn't no missing.
Right.
And I mean, when the people saw the fire of God fall and assumed that sacrifice after he put all that water on, they said, the Lord, he's God, and he brought all them false prophets down there and killed every one of them down the book. Kendron or Kishon, I can't remember the name of that little brook, killed all them prophets there and thought, whew, we got it made now. And then here's a woman up there, the wife of Ahab, the wicked king, Jezebel. And she didn't even come to him face to face. She just sent a word to him by a servant. He said, God do so unto me and more if the head of Elijah be not removed from him this time tomorrow or something like that. She threatened him with his life. He took off rumpling out of his shoes. And his pity party, Miranda, he said, I only am alone. God said, I got 7,000, boy.
Right.
Now, sometimes when you put on the, I put my glasses on, y'all see me putting them on. Sometimes we need to put on glasses like that to see what God's doing.
Yeah.
You know, in a good church, you see God doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that I preached, I was amazed at what God would show a man from right here. I was amazed. And when I started pastoring, I was even more amazed what God showed me from right here, because He showed me how much He loved them people that I was pastoring. And that was quite an experience. I remember being overwhelmed by the fact of being made to realize just how much God loved them. And like I said, again, a good church, you'll see a lot of good things.
That's right, you will.
It was a good day when I saw these four right here come up here and nail down here. You know how skeptics are. Well, we'll see. Then they wanted to get baptized. Then they wanted to join the church. I joined with them.
Amen.
In a good church, you'll see a lot of good things.
Yeah, that's right.
And this experience on this mountain right here, it pictures being in a good church. Like I said, I've often wondered what would happen if I'd stumbled in to a cult.
Yeah.
I hate to name them. I won't. I don't think that Rick told me. He said, Eddie, if you're unkind, you're the wrong kind. So I won't. But I'm so glad I stumbled in a real church, a good church.
That's right.
Heard the good word of God.
Right.
Had God to deal with me.
That's right.
Personally.
Right.
Man, somebody said, hey, you know you're saved. I said, well, it's different now. I used to be in a condemnation, and now there's no condemnation. And I used to have guilt. Now I got peace and joy.
Right.
Man, I sleep better.
That's right.
Man, I tell you what, the food tastes better. The birds sing better.
Right.
Hey, it just seemed like everything goes better with the Lord. Amen.
It is.
It all started from a good church.
Yes, it did. That's right.
If I had never made it in a good church, I'd probably still be a drunk. Sure. I'd probably still be a candidate for hell.
Yeah.
You know, our Sunday school lesson this morning talked about Jonah crying out from the belly of hell. Old people end up there. The skepticism's over. Now they know better. Now they know who to blame too. They ain't got nobody to blame but themselves. They can't blame me for getting them on track. And they say, I don't want that. I've heard enough of that. That's all y'all Christians know. But they don't have to blame me for that.
That's right.
They don't have to blame you for giving them calls, saying I'm praying for you.
Right. Amen.
They know better to blame God now because they've seen it. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. They stood before the judge of all the earth.
Amen.
And they saw true love, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a terrible dilemma. When you've been an enemy of God, now you stand before the friend of sinners.
Right.
He has to say the words, depart from me, I never knew you. And by the way, if you're reading Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it'll say that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. We ain't got no business there.
No, that's right.
In a good church, you'll learn a lot of things like that. But anyway, that's what I wanted to preach on this morning. Like I said, it may not have done you no good, but done me some good. I'm so glad I ended up in a good church. I'm so glad I'm in a good church right now. And I thank God that God made not only a good church, but loved it. And visits it and blesses it. Praise God. We can get the benefit of that. Father, we thank You for the message today. Lord, in the day that we're living in, Lord, when there's so many scoffers and so many, Lord, that hinders anyone trying to live for God. And Lord, they label us, Lord, of fanatics and holy rulers and call us all kind of slanderous names. But Lord, it's worth it. It's worth it just to be in Your presence.
Yeah.
David said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in a tent of the Lord than to dwell in the house of the wicked. And how true that is, Lord. You not only, Lord, bless us, but God, You give us so much more than we deserve. And I pray, Lord, You bless this church. May it always be a good church. May all that come into this church, Lord, know that, Lord, it's Your church. And we're just, Lord, Your children. And for all these favors, Lord, we ask Your blessings. Your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to get Brother Jerry, please, and maybe Sister Sharon, maybe a verse of some song. And